Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantages of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimages, which are the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a high order of pious life, he traveled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of the Lord are situated. So I'd like to welcome again all the new people who have arrived today. Every day we get more and more people. We still have a few more left. Maharaj is coming. He told me yesterday he was very upset that he missed yesterday's class. But he should be coming today, hopefully. So yesterday we heard how Parikshit is asking about Vidura. How could he leave the home of the Pandavas, which was a holy dham? So Shukadeva Goswami explained how Vidura was very, very innocent. He was Amalatmana. But he was insulted by Duryodhan, who was Asadhu, Vinashtadishti, offense personified. Vidura was always trying to give good advice to his elder brother, Dhritarashtra. In fact, he lived at the palace just to benefit his elder brother. But Duryodhan did not appreciate the advice of Vidura. And so he offended him, and Vidura felt afflicted to the core of his heart by the insults of Duryodhan. And Duryodhan was always in the company of Karna and Shakuni, always helping him in his plots to kill the Pandavas. But we heard that Vidura, on the other hand, he was a sadhu. Vidura, Yudhisthira, they were always tolerating all the offenses that Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan were committing. But this time, Duryodhan went too far. He actually wanted to beat his uncle, his saintly uncle, Vidura, and kick him out of the palace, leaving him only with his breath. So Vidura, at first, of course, he was feeling very bad. He wasn't expecting this kind of behavior from his nephew. But then he saw the action of the internal energy of the Lord. Although it was acting on Duryodhan as external energy, it was acting, in his case, as internal energy. So yesterday we learned a lot of lessons about the Vaishnava attitude of Vidura. Can anybody tell me what lesson you learned yesterday from Vidura's behavior in his consciousness? Yes. See the Lord's hand in everything. Yes. What else? What did you learn?
We have the Krishna's hand in any particular situation.
Yes. To see Krishna's hand in everything. Anything else you learned? Yes. Okay, you learned that the Lord's dham, the dham, Prabhupada's definition of holy dham, is a place where the senses of the Lord are satisfied. Yes. Yes. Okay, so that's a very good point. Krishna reciprocates with the inner desire of the devotee. Actually, Vidura wanted just to give up everything and dedicate himself to devotional service to Krishna, but because he was in the palace politics and he was living there, he had a duty to his elder brother, so he could not do it. So now, actually, he was thanking Duryodhan that now you've given me the chance to get out of this palace politics, out of this entanglement, and simply devote myself to Lord Krishna. So these lessons we learned, and how do we apply this to our lives, we also learned. Does anybody remember anything about that, besides seeing Krishna's hand? Yes, Asha, A-S-H-A, four letters we wrote. This was actually taught by Burj and Prabhu in last year's retreat, that A stands for association of devotees. The first thing that happens if we get into a difficult situation, we feel obstacles in our devotional service, we should take association of the devotees. Secondly, sincerity. Yes, we have to be sincere to see Krishna's hand in everything, in our lives also, not just in the people we preach to. Yes, it's Krishna's mercy. No, also it's mercy for us when it happens to us. Sincerity, to accept the truth. Then H, humility. Humility, to realize that we do have faults, we do have problems that we need to work on, and we can change for the better. Be willing to change. And fourth, application. Application. And we have to actually apply these instructions to our situation. Yes. Yes, that's another point. Yudhisthira, from the behavior of Yudhisthira and Vidura. Yudhisthira was a jata shatru. No one was his enemy. And Vidura also, although he was being treated like an enemy, he actually was always desiring to benefit Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. And how did he prove this, that he was not the enemy? How did he prove that he was actually the best friend?
Later he came back.
He came back. Right, he came back to get Dhritarashtra out of his doggish life, eating the remnants given by Bhima. And so we heard about that in the first canto. So, yes.
He said
Vidura
thanked Duryodhana?
Yeah, Prabhupada actually at the end of the, in part of the purport did say that. That somewhere, 16, if I remember correctly. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana. It's not exactly, he didn't thank, yeah. It's not exactly the same thing. Oh. Okay, where is that? Okay. Oh, he therefore thought. Okay. Yeah, okay. Just after that, now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, actually the same sentence, and instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in devotional service of the Lord. So things are happening externally, things are happening internally, and Prabhupada is giving us the picture of what's happening within. So therefore we thank Srila Prabhupada that he gives us these purports. So we can understand what's going on in the mind of Vidura, what's going on in the mind of Dhritarashtra. So these purports are very, very important. So Vidura, he is taking shelter of the holy places. As we heard yesterday from Kshirakshai Vishnu Maharaj, how to take shelter of Vrindavan. Three things. What's that?
Yamuna.
Dust, Rajaraj, and? In Govardhan. So these things never change. These things, Vrindavan is changing so much, but these three things, these never change. And the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So here in the Sanskrit, in the second line, end of the second line, there is a word, padani. Padani is translated in the word for word, pilgrimages. So in Prabhupada translated, the place of pilgrimages, which are the Lord's lotus feet. Now why? Why is the place of pilgrimage the Lord's lotus feet? Why is it being said here in Srimad Bhagavatam that the place of pilgrimage, this is Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, they are the Lord's lotus feet. Any idea? Yes, Prabhu? Can take shelter there, okay? Any other reason? Okay, they're marked with his footprints, especially Vrindavan, especially Braj, all of Braj is marked with Krishna's footprints. What's another reason? Padani, yes. Because we'll find out that when Vidura visited the holy places, then he saw the deities of the Lord. So actually the deities are there, his lotus feet are there also. His lotus feet are situated in most of the places of pilgrimage. So these are the reasons. Now let's see who read the purport. Why didn't Vidura immediately go to associate with Lord Krishna? Yeah. Okay. He felt like he wasn't qualified to directly approach Krishna because of his association with Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra. So let's read the purport, not the whole thing, but some of it. First paragraph. Vidura was undoubtedly a highly elevated and pious soul. Otherwise, he would not have taken his birth in the core of a family. To have high parentage, to possess wealth, to be highly learned, and to have great personal beauty are all due to past pious acts. But such pious possessions are not sufficient for obtaining the grace of the Lord and being engaged in his transcendental loving service. It's not by our money that we can buy Krishna. It's not by our qualification as a great manager. It's not by our beauty or by our knowledge. We cannot purchase Krishna. How can we purchase Krishna? Yes. Loyam, devotion, bhakti. Bhakti. What does Queen Kunti say in that we learned last year? I think you learned the verse. Jamai Shraya Shruti Shivir Eda Mana Madapuman Naivarhata Vidhatum Vai Tama Kinshina Gochara. That those persons who are intoxicated with Jama Ishraya Shruta Shi, they cannot feelingly chant the holy name of the Lord. So, of course, Vidura, although he had these pious qualities, that was not the qualification for obtaining Krishna. So therefore he left all these things. He left his place, his beautiful house, his palace, and all the opulence of Hastinapur, and he went on pilgrimage. So Prabhupada said, Vidura considered himself less pious. Actually, he was the most pious in the world. Therefore, he decided to travel to all the great places of pilgrimage in the world in order to achieve greater piety and advance nearer to the Lord. At that time, Lord Krishna was personally present in the world, and Vidura could have at once approached him directly, but he did not do so because he was not sufficiently freed from sin. So what's the verse in Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada quotes? Esham tvantate gatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. So we'll go down to paragraph 3. Prabhupada says, 1, 2, 3. Places of pilgrimages are meant for eradicating the sins of the pilgrims, and they are distributed all over the universe just to give facility to all concerned for attaining pure existence and God realization. One should not be satisfied, however, merely by visiting the places of pilgrimage and performing one's prescribed duties. He should be eager to meet the great souls who are already there engaged in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, Srimad Bhagavatam says, sa eva gokara. So Vidura, again, we can see the Vaishnava attitude here of Vidura. He had such humility. He was a friend of Krishna, Nectar of Devotion says, a friend of Krishna in Hastinapur. He was one of Krishna's friends. When Krishna used to come to his house, then Vidura would take Lord Krishna's lotus feet on his lap and massage his lotus feet. He was so close to Krishna. But he's thinking, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to go to Krishna, to go directly approach Krishna. So this is the mentality we have to have. Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they had the same mentality, that they felt that by our association with the Muslims, we have become contaminated. We cannot associate directly. So when Lord Chaitanya called Sanatana Goswami, one time Lord Chaitanya was taking lunch at one place, he called Sanatana Goswami to him. And Sanatana Goswami, he went on the beach at high noon. It was burning sand. And I was there in Jagannath Puri just a few weeks ago, and it's even at 10 o'clock, it's burned your feet. So he went there at 12 o'clock. The sun was like fire, and the sand was like fire. He went out of his eagerness to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, how did you come? And he said, I came by the beach. He says, because if I went by the path near the temple, then it's possible that one of the pujaris may have touched me. And then I would have felt very bad because they would become contaminated by my touch. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, by your touch you can purify everyone. Even I get purified by touching you. But this is the mentality. Haridas Thakur, Sanatana, Rupa, Vidura. We'll see as we read on it in this Bhagavatam, in this canto, the qualities of Vidura, how he's gentle, how he's humble. So let's read on this purport. In each and every place of pilgrimage, the Lord is present in his various transcendental forms. These forms are called Archamurtis, or forms of the Lord, which can be easily appreciated by the common man. The Lord is transcendental to our mundane senses. He cannot be seen with our present eyes, nor can he be heard with our present ears. Okay, now listen carefully to this sentence. To the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord. Welcome, Maharaj. Here's a seat for you. Hare Krishna. Oh. No problem. We're happy to see you, Maharaj. To the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord, or to the proportion to which our lives are freed from sins, we can perceive the Lord. What does this mean? To the degree. What does it mean that to enter the service of the Lord? What does this actually mean? It seems like a very simple sentence. Enter, okay, I'm doing devotional service. So what does it mean? How can we actually perceive the Lord by entering into his devotional service? This is a Man Gopal. Mm-hmm. That's right. No ordinary man can go see the president. Okay, so devotional service gives us the qualification to see Krishna. Okay. What else? Yes.
It sounds like we're talking about nishtha.
Nishtha. At least you're on the level of nishtha here. Yes? It is the Ananda Shakti of the Lord. Okay. So we take shelter of the internal energy. And therefore, by the mercy of Radharani, or the internal energy, we can perceive the Lord. Any other comments or realizations on this verse? To the extent, to the degree, we have entered into the service of the Lord. Or to the proportion. Yeah, tell him which page he's on. I don't have that book. We're on verse 17, actually. Or to the extent that we are freed from sins. So that freed from sins may imply nishtha, asakti. Because when you get up to nishtha, then you're freed from a certain amount. As we learned last year in the first canto, nashta prayeshu badeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So nashta prayeshu, when you're almost finished from the abadeshu. And Prabhupada in the lecture, he said how much that was. Certain percentage finished. Remember how much percent? 75%. Prabhupada has given us 75%. And even with that 75%, Prabhupada has promised that he'll take us back to Godhead. So we are very fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada here with us, taking us, leading us back to Godhead. What's that? He's got the back door key. Yes, as we heard. That's why 75%, everyone else has to be 100%. But if you follow Srila Prabhupada, you get by 75% being free from all anarthas, he will let you in the back door. So this is to the degree, at least if you can get 75% freed from sins, then you can perceive the Lord. Even before that, to the degree. So in your first beginning devotional service, you may see Krishna in one way. You may see more the deity or like that. And as you go on, you see Krishna is present in the hearts of the devotees also. And as you go on, you see Krishna is in the heart of all living entities. So you see your vision of Krishna expands as your love for Krishna expands. Isn't it, Maharaj? Yes. So this is to the degree you can perceive Krishna. And Prabhupada said, you can actually, the time will come when you will speak to Krishna face to face. So that is our goal. After finishing the first 9 cantos, Prabhupada says, you can have God realization. We must see Krishna. Of course, we can also see Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. So that's how we are seeing Krishna. receiving the Lord. Okay? So let's go on to the next verse here. And that is verse 18. Oh, wait a minute. There's something nice in this purport that I don't want to skip. And that is all the names of, the names of the deities in the last paragraph. It's about the middle of the last paragraph. The Lord is present at Mathura, birthplace of Lord Krishna as Adi Keshava. The Lord is present at Puri, Orissa as Lord Jagannath, also known as Purushottam. He is present at Allahabad, Prayag as Bindu Madhava. At Mandara Hill, he is present as Madhusudana. In the Anandaranya, he is known as Vasudev, Padmanabh, and Janardhan. At Vishnu Kanchi, he is known as Vishnu. And at Mayapur, he is known as Hari. And Srila Prabhupada, let's read a little bit more. There are millions and billions of such archa forms of the Lord distributed all over the universe. All these archamurtis are summarized in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the following words. Sarvatra prakashatara bhakte shukadite jagatera dharmanashi dharmastapite. The Lord has so distributed himself all over the universe just to give pleasure to the devotees, to give the common man facility to eradicate his sins, and to establish religious principles in the world. So we can understand how the Lord gives pleasure to his devotees and how he gives facility to the common man to eradicate his sins. So, but how does the deity establish religious principles in the world? Prabhupada says three things. How the Lord has distributed himself. Three ways. Two ways is pretty easy. How does the deity, the establishment of the, yes, oh, Maharaj, yes. Yes, the deity form allows us to render service to him. What else do we, what benefit do we get also from the deity? A certain level of purity has to be there. Pancharchiki, we follow Pancharchiki Vidhi. Okay, one more, Maharaj.
In third canto, 25th chapter, verse number 36, the Lord tells there that taradarshaniya vayavara udara ilasaha sechada vama shuddhai pradatmanam pradaphanam shabhaktir anishtatram egatem and vim prayukte. He says that when my devotee sees my beautiful, charming form, nicely decorated, and hears my pleasant speech. I mean, when they're off the nonsense, but when they can hear Krishna's speech, he says they completely lose all other consciousness. They become completely absorbed in devotional service, and have given up all other consciousness, and very easily they attain my abode, even though they're unwillingly.
And in that purport, Prabhupada had a very beautiful comment, if I remember correctly, that Prabhupada said even a neophyte devotee can be liberated by standing in front of the deity, at least for the time being, by standing in the front of the deity and offering prayers, heartfelt prayers. That even someone who is a neophyte can be liberated at that point. Yes.
So in the 11th canto, in his instructions to Buddha Bhava, Krishna describes that deity worship includes having some pravachans.
So hearing, yes.
Festivals.
Right. Okay. Yes, Dharma, this is a very good comment in 11th canto, that by deity worship not only means simply the puja, it means kirtan, it means festivals. You have the deity, then you have this Nisringa. I saw Nisringa Dev's appearance day. You have huge festivals. And before that, there was a boat festival. And before that, there was a swing festival. Yes.
We can take prasad.
This is a very good point. This is a very good point. Okay, so we'll read on next verse, verse 18. He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna, through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwaraka, and Mathura. He traveled with the air, hill, orchard, river, and lake are all pure and sinless, and where the forms of the unlimited decorate the temples. Thus he performed the pilgrim's progress. So in the second sentence, Prabhupada says, the forms of the Lord are mentioned here as Ananta Linga. Such forms of the Lord have unlimited potency, the same as that of the Lord himself. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, the Archimurti can also deliver the same unlimited potency of the Lord as when he is personally present. Vidura, therefore, could see nothing but Krishna in the different archa forms, that ultimately he was able to realize Krishna alone and nothing else. So this is a very good point, that why didn't he go to Krishna? He did. He actually went to Krishna. He went to the deities. They're none different from Krishna. And so here, this point is being made by Srila Prabhupada. He did go to Krishna on his pilgrimage. He was only seeing Krishna. So how do we experience personally, actually, the presence of the deity? Prabhupada says here that he's actually present. How is Krishna actually present for us when we go to the temple? What does it mean for us? Yeah.
It means that when the devotee cries out to the Lord desperately, at that time when the devotee is actually desperate for shelter, then at that time the Lord speaks from within the heart and gives instructions and everything to give guidance and shelter to the devotee.
Yeah, so if we're desperate, we can go to the deity and he'll speak to us. Or even if we're not desperate, we can go to the deity and we can ask him questions. Like sometimes myself, I don't have association of sannyasi, so I have some philosophical questions, so I go to the deity. Who else am I going to ask? Or Prabhupada? Yeah, of course. Krishna is there. So, and also Paramatma, of course. Paramatma gives you the inspiration. Actually, I'd like to just read a few things here from Mayapur. This is about Lord Nrisimhadev. I was there for Nrisimhadev's appearance day. And this actually tells how Nrisimhadev reciprocates with his devotees. These are true stories by devotees themselves who experienced the reciprocation of Lord Nrisimhadev in Mayapur. So I'll just read one or two or three of them just to give you an idea of the power of the deity. So this is written by Pankajangri Das. During the last Gaurapurnima festival, I called over a Mataji in the crowd and asked her to distribute the Lord's Charinamrita to the ladies, which she did. Later, when she brought the Charinamrita pot back, she remarked, Lord Nrisimhadev was very merciful to reciprocate so quickly. I was praying this morning I might be able to offer some direct service to him, and now you have given me this service. Yes, Pankajangri said, desires are quickly fulfilled in the Dham. Just see, the same day you desire, it happened. She said, no. Not the same day, the same moment. The very instant I expressed that desire to serve you, you called me over. So that was one incident. And then there was another one where, it's not written here, but there was another lady in Mayapur. She was suffering from some eye disease since many, many years. And so she went in front of Lord Nrisimhadev and prayed, please cure my eye disease. I cannot do my service nicely. So then she heard a voice, go tell the pujari to give me back my eyes. Because somebody had donated beautiful new eyes for Lord Nrisimhadev. And what were they, yellow? He didn't like them. So he said, and she was looking around where the voice coming from. Then she heard it again, go tell the pujari to give me back my eyes. And she was thinking, well, how am I going to do that? And the Nrisimhadev said, go walk up the stairs to the pujari room, find the pujari, and tell him to give me back my eyes. So then she did that. She walked up there. And the pujari, of course, at first was skeptical. And he asked about this lady, if she's a little crazy or not. But then he found out, no, she's very sane. And so they had a meeting, and they discussed whether or not to give back the original eyes. So then finally they decided, okay, we'll give back the eyes. So then Mangal Arti was that Lord Nrisimhadev got his new eyes back. And this Mataji, she didn't go to Mangal Arti, her daughter went. And her daughter came back from Mangal Arti and told her mother, oh, Nrisimhadev got his eyes back. And she said, yes, my eyes are cured. No. So these are just stories. There are so many stories like this with Nrisimhadev. I'll just tell another one. There is Oh, yeah. One devotee said, I was suffering, this is a brahmachari, I was suffering intensely. I could not even stand without supporting myself on the column in front of Lord Nrisimhadev's altar. I prayed, please help me take away this suffering condition so I may serve you fully. I then felt all my pain moving up and flowing out of my body. It just left. So then Pankajari said, while I was hearing this, I noticed another devotee who had come for darshan of the Lord. Earlier in the morning, this Mataji had asked my advice what to do, for she had been afflicted for about 2 weeks with a severe problem that contaminated her body, which wouldn't allow her to paint some deities in Assam, although she had already been commissioned to do it and had an air ticket to go. Mataji, I exclaimed while walking to her, Lord Nrisimhadev is giving instant benedictions. Why don't you ask him to remove your problem? The very next morning, when she saw me, she said, thank you so much for your advice. You know, when I arrived home from the temple yesterday, my problem had completely disappeared. So these things are happening in Mayapur with Lord Nrisimhadev deity. There's some others. I'll just read one more with the pujari. There's one that's really far out. It's a dream, but I won't read that one because, anyway. I think you know that, Maharaj. When Lord Nrisimhadev first came to Mayapur, all the pujaris were reluctant to worship his awesome form. Bhava Siddhidas was particularly frightened and always very nervous worshiping him. One night, after putting the Lord to rest, he was leaving the altar when he heard such a tremendous sound it made his hair stand on end. Looking back fearfully, he saw everything was in place. So he quickly left, locked the door, and paid his obeisance, praying for forgiveness for any offense he might have inadvertently committed. At the end of that night, he was awakened by the shaking of his bed. Bhava Siddhi was sleeping on the top of a bunk bed, so he thought it must be the pujari below him getting up for Mangalarti. However, when he opened his eyes, he saw Lord Nrisimhadev sitting on his bed. That fortunate pujari became very fearful, practically to the point of panic. As he tried to get up, Lord Nrisimhadev placed his two hands, which felt like the weight of the universe, on his shoulders. Be peaceful, be calm, the Lord consoled him. I have just come to tell you that when you worship me in the temple, there is no need to fear me. Please, give up this fear. And another thing he said was, and you know that light you turn on in the morning when you wake me up? It shines in my eyes. I don't like it. Don't use that light anymore. So then the pujari, then the Lord disappeared. And then this Bhava Siddhi started running up and down the corridor of the long building, going, ah, 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 ah. No, he couldn't speak. And the devotees thought either he's mad or some ghost has haunted him. And then he ran to the temple, to Nrisimhadev, offered his obeisances, and he started walking back. And then he was okay. But he noticed everyone was looking at him. And then he realized he hadn't put his dhoti on. He just had his kopan. So he was just running around like that, completely oblivious. So anyway, and then there's a follow-up. So there's a follow-up on this. Oh, let's see that. Pankajangri said, I saw Bhava Siddhi at last year's Gaur Purnima festival. He's living in America now. I asked him about that incident. He said, yes, I still have those two marks from Lord Nrisimhadev on my shoulders. They're almost gone now, but they're still visible. And so these are some of the things that happen. If you happen to be in... He wanted to get out of the bed, you know, when he saw Nrisimhadev on his bed, but Nrisimhadev went like that. He said, don't be afraid anymore. So when he's telling you like that, you're going to not be afraid anymore. So these are just some of the incidents that happened in Mayapur. And with deities, of course, many devotees have experiences with deities, but it can happen. We can go to the deity, we can speak, and our prayers will be answered. And of course, it may not be answered in the way we expect, but it'll be answered. Krishna's mercy. So verse 19. While so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places. Although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hairdressing nor a bed on which to lie, thus he was always unseen by his various relatives. So these are instructions for us when we go on pilgrimage. What is the most important duty of a pilgrim? Prabhupada says in the purport. Foremost duty. Is it to have no hairdressing or no bed or... Yes, what? Okay. Yeah, well, that's actually one of them. But there's another one here in the purport too. Satisfy the Lord. And that satisfies the Lord. And unless... Actually, that's the purpose of pilgrimage also, is to meet the great sages. So actually, that answer is also correct. And Prabhupada says that sometimes too. But here in the purport, right in the beginning, he says the first and foremost duty of a pilgrim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So Vidura, he was free from anxiety because he had no possessions. He had no relationships with his family. Most people, they think that if I get more possessions, if I get more family, then I'll be free from anxiety. But actually, it's the opposite. The less you have, the more free you are. So this is Vidura's realization here. He had no possessions. Prabhupada says in the purport, while traveling as a pilgrim, one should not be worried about pleasing society. There is no need to depend on social formalities or occupation or dress. One should remain always absorbed in the function of pleasing the Lord. Thus sanctified by thought and action, one is able to realize the Supreme Lord by the process of a pilgrim's journey. So this should be our mood here in Vrindavan, that we are here not to try to get married or something else, or enjoy sense gratification. We're here to please Krishna. If you try to live here and please your own senses, it won't work, because it's not possible. It's not possible to please your senses here in Vrindavan. There's no way. So better not try. Better just try to please, because there's only one enjoyer in Vrindavan, and that's Krishna. And so we cannot enjoy here. So actually, I was reading this verse, and some of these things that are mentioned in the verse were reminding me a lot about Srila Prabhupada. Although Prabhupada wasn't going on pilgrimage to America, he had the same qualities. Vivikta vritti, his occupation was pure and independent. And he was simply selling the books, he was chanting Hare Krishna. And he was in the dress of a mendicant, he had no bed on which to lie. In his first room in America, he had no bed, he had no bathroom, he had no kitchen. It was just a room with four walls and no windows. And he was on the floor. So we sometimes complain, but actually Prabhupada, he was living like that. He was living like a mendicant when he went to America. And he was actually creating holy places wherever he went, purifying everyone. Actually, I have a little excerpt here by one of the first people that Prabhupada met in America. He's a Mayavad, Ramamurti Mishra. Dr. Mishra said, Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Goswami really knocked me down with love. He was an incarnation of love. My body had become a skeleton and he really brought me back to life. His cooking, especially his love and his devotion to Lord Krishna. I was very lazy in the matter of cooking, but he would get up and have ready. It was not bread he gave me prasadam. This was life, and he saved my life. So this is Prabhupada in America. So Vidura, of course, he wasn't preaching. He was just going on pilgrimage. But Prabhupada, he was also sannyas. Vidura is sannyas here. And Prabhupada was also sannyas. Even though he was in the city, he was in the most materialistic part of the world, New York City. But he was living like this, just like a saint, just like a sannyasi. He had no facility. So we also, when we're living in a holy place, we have to remember the examples of Srila Prabhupada, Vidura, and get their, imbibe their attitude and their mood. In verse 20, thus, when he was in the land of Bhartvarsh, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhashasetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor, and held the world under one military strength and flag. So Ajitena in the Sanskrit means by the mercy of Krishna. So one thing we can understand by reading this verse is that the time frame here is now it's after the battle of Kurukshetra. The battle is finished. Vidura is visiting Prabhashasatra after the Battle of Kurukshetra. In verse 21, we'll find out it's after something else too. At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhasa, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion, just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. So he heard the news not only about the Yadus, he heard about the Kauravas also, Prabhupada says here in the purport. He heard news about both of the annihilation of both of his dynasties, Kuru dynasty and the Yadu dynasty. Verse 22. On the bank of the river Saraswati, there are 11 places of pilgrimage, namely 1. Trita, 2. Ushana, 3. Manu, 4. Prithu, 5. Agni, 6. Asita, 7. Vayu, 8. Sudasa, 9. Go, 10. Guha, and 11. Shadadev. Vidura visited all of them and duly performed rituals. Has anybody been to any of these places of pilgrimage? Pariyacha, Sankirtan, which one? Prabhashetra. Yeah. What is it like? Can you describe it to us?
There are two places. One is there's a murti where Vishnu is lying. That's the place where the place where Krishna got
the arrow. Mm-hmm. In the Bhagavatam. Forehands. Krishna has four hands when he leaves. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the river Saraswati doesn't flow anymore, so it might be a little hard to find
these places. We've got satellite photographs. It goes all the way from Takshashila. It goes all the way from up there in Jammu and Kashmir. It flows along the western bank. Near Pakistan, and then goes near Pakistan border.
They can see it from the satellite.
Right, and then goes out into the Arabian Sea area. It's actually underneath. They say that the bed is underneath in the Rajasthan Desert. And they actually tap in, they get the water. It's actually underground.
Now, amazing.
Where are all these spots were actually along the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It must be covered over by sand now. Or
right.
They actually exist anymore.
Yeah, they're covered by time.
It mentions something that as long as sadhus remained on her banks, that she would remain visible. Mm-hmm. But when sadhus didn't remain on her banks, then she disappeared.
Okay, so we're very unfortunate. We'll keep going. Verse 23. There are also many other temples of various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, established by great sages and demigods. These temples were marked with the chief emblems of the Lord, and they reminded one always of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So I'm going to see who read the purport again. The Lord has four symbols, the club, the chakra, the lotus, and the conch. And one of these four is a symbol of Krishna. Yes, chakra. Chakra is a symbol of Krishna. Prabhupada says this in the purport. This is about the middle of the purport. Of these four emblems, the chakra or wheel is the chief. Lord Krishna, being the original Vishnu form, has only one emblem, namely the wheel, and therefore he is sometimes called the chakri. The Lord's chakra is a symbol of the power by which the Lord controls the whole manifestation. The tops of Vishnu temples are marked with a symbol of the wheel, so that people may have the chance to see the symbol from a very long distance and at once remember Lord Krishna. So this is very important. The chakra is Krishna's symbol. So Haridas Thakur, when he was in Jagannath Puri, he would always look at the chakra of the temple because he didn't want to go in the temple. And the chakra is also a symbol on Krishna's lotus feet. And it has a very particular meaning, that it cuts down the six enemies of the devotee: Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. And it also is a symbol of Teja Tattva, brilliance. And this destroys the darkness of sin from the heart of the devotee. So this is a benefit if we see the chakra at the top of the temple. We remember Krishna. At the same time, we get free from sin. We get purified by seeing the chakra. Sudarshan, yes. Sudarshan means pure sight. Pure darshan, yes. Yes. Okay, very good.
When he picked up the will to defeat Bhishma.
Yes.
Atangapani.
He carries the wheel. Yes, it's the wheel. It has actually so many meanings. Chakra, it also means the wheel of time. The wheel of time is there. Kala chakra. Kala chakra. So chakra is very, very important in understanding our philosophy, the chakra. It's Krishna's symbol. Krishna has one, Vishnu has four. Okay? So then the last verse, verse 24, is it 24? Yes. Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sauvira, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last, he reached the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. So Uddhava was in Dwaraka, and Krishna had instructed him in the Uddhava Gita. And after instructing him, he said, I want you to go to Bhadrikasham with a message for the sages up there. So Uddhava didn't want to go. He said, you're leaving. How can I exist without you? So Uddhava put his face on Krishna's lotus feet, and he was washing Krishna's feet with his tears. But then he left. And Krishna went, in the meantime, with the Yadu dynasty to Prabhasa, where the whole Yadu dynasty was annihilated right before his eyes. So then in the meantime, Uddhava, he was going on his way to Bhadrikasham, but then he heard Krishna went to Prabhasa. So then he turned back and he went. And he followed, instead of following Krishna's instruction, he followed Krishna. He followed him to Prabhasa. And there he saw Krishna's condition. Krishna's charioteer also came and saw Krishna's condition before Uddhava came. Krishna said, you go to Dwaraka and tell them to leave Dwaraka immediately and tell them about the annihilation of our dynasty. So then Uddhava followed Krishna. He saw Krishna as we heard sitting under the banyan tree, about to leave. And at that time, we'll hear in the fourth chapter, Krishna instructed Uddhava and Maitreya in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chatushloki. So then we heard how you can come up Sankirtandas and show us the path. First, we have Vidura. He's going on pilgrimage, and he went to Prabhas. Where is Prabhas? Yeah, Prabhas is very close. So first, Vidura is there, and he went up to the Jamuna. He's going through Kuru Jangala. He's going through all these provinces, and up through Gujarat, up to Surat. Yeah, he went. No, so he didn't go straight. He's going to the pilgrimages. He's not. He doesn't have a certain particular goal, so he's not going straight up to. Yeah, so he went down to Surat. Let's see which verse. Uh huh. So Gurgaon is up there, and that's where he ended up. It's near Delhi. That's where Vidura ended up, at Gurgaon. And this is where he met Uddhava. Now, Uddhava, he left Dwaraka. Okay, show where Dwaraka is. In the meantime, Uddhava, he left Dwaraka, and he started going to Bhadrikasham. But then, and Bhadrik is way up there. But he heard about Krishna, and then he turned back, and he went to Prabhas, which is down there. And then he went up all the way to Gurgaon, same. And that's where they met, just before Delhi, where the Jamuna River flows. And where show where Uddhava was, where his goal was. Where is Bhadrikasham? Can you see it? Up there. Okay. It's all up there. So that's where... And the two met at Gurgaon on the Jamuna River. So now we have the vision. Yeah, that's after. Yeah, so we'll bring the map back, and that's not very far.
From
Maitreya, yes. Yes, that will be actually in the verse. In the verse, it'll say Haridwar, or something dwar, swarga dwar, some kind of dwar.
It says Maitreya was nearby.
Nearby.
Therefore
yes.
Vidura, they didn't want to have the conversation because Maitreya is
yes.
was nearby.
Yeah.
But Gurgaon, Madhwar is quite far.
Yes. Well, compared to the rest of India.
Yeah.
It's not like Dwarka and Prabhas. Yes. Even for us, it's not that far. Much. So let's read the purport. It's a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. The tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district, so that's where they were, in Punjab, East India, is considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. So this is one of our themes, seeing Krishna. So you can note this. A devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained. So we can't understand it with our mind. Or we cannot explain it with words. But it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. So Prabhupada is giving us his realization as a pure devotee of the Lord here. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Six Goswamis, Hey Radhe, Rajadevike, Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kota. They were always searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Is he on Govardhan? Is he at the Jamuna playing his flute? Where is Krishna? Prabhupada says, such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment. So first he says, they don't see him. Just the search is nice. Now he says they're seeing him every moment. So this Prabhupada, sometimes in one purport, he'll just say opposite things. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena sandasa deva hideyeshi vilokayanti yang shama sundara machintya guna surupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who are in ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chamsundar, Krishna, see him always in their hearts, due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of Jamuna and met each other. Therefore, interesting, great devotees meet each other. Therefore they met, Prabhupada says. They both could see the Lord in the heart, so therefore they met and they had their conversation. Of course, they were in ecstasy, but it's also our ecstasy too that they met. And we'll hear their conversation. So this is the meaning of living in Vrindavan. We should be eagerly searching for Krishna, not for eating, sleeping, mating and defending in Vrindavan. Prabhupada, when I was here in 1972, Prabhupada was giving Nectar of Devotion lectures. And he very strongly advised us not to try to enjoy in Vrindavan. And he says, and if you do, next life you'll become a hog, dog, a camel, no, not hog, dog, camel, or ass, hog, dog, or monkey in Vrindavan. So all these animals we see, they were devotees in their last life who committed some offense to the Dham. So this life, they get another chance. In this life, they can't commit any offense because they're animals, Prabhupada said. So therefore, they'll go straight back to Godhead. They go straight in this life. Because now, they simply suffer. The monkeys are suffering. Of course, anyway, I won't talk about that. But I just saw them the other day, the kids, the monkey children, teenagers, jumping off the tree into the water. having like a big swimming pool when it rained in Kadia land. Anyway, but mostly they suffer. Mostly they suffer in Vrindavan. So this point about searching for Krishna, I know one little girl who's been searching for Krishna for the last 5 years. At the age of 5, she went to Jaipur, and she's a devotee. She's a daughter of one of my godbrothers and godsisters here in Vrindavan. They're here in Vrindavan right now. So they went to Jaipur, and they were doing some business with the Murtiwala, the deity, one who makes the deities. So when he was in his puja, he was doing his puja, they were waiting outside, and they saw one deity of Radharani, and she was looking at the deity, and her mother was thinking, oh, my child, she has so much attachment to Krishna and Balaram, I wish she would have some attachment to Radharani. So then she started looking at this beautiful deity of Radharani, this little girl. So then the Murtiwala came out, and he said, you know what? He saw her looking at the deity. He says, I'm going to give this deity of Radharani to you, this little girl. And the mother said, no, 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 don't do that. It's only Radharani. You know, we need Krishna too. And he said, no. When I was in my puja, the Lord told me that the first person you meet, you have to give something to that person, something special. So he said, yes, this is the person, and I want to give this deity to her. So she got this deity of Radharani, but no Krishna. So for the last 5 years, everywhere she goes, she's looking for a Krishna to match her Radharani. So she's always thinking, where is that Krishna? Where is that Krishna? Every shop, Jayapur, or here, Rasarani, I don't know if you know her, Harisari's daughter. Now she's 10. And I think finally they're going to find Krishna for her in Jayapur. The one who made Radharani is going to make Krishna. But this is the idea. And that's why Radharani came to her, so she would be searching for Krishna for 5 years. And so this is very wonderful, how Krishna tricks us sometimes into looking for him. And but this is the mood we must have in Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? How can I see in the incident that happened to Vidura also? He saw Krishna. He saw in the temples. He went on pilgrimage. Again, he saw Krishna in all the deities in the temples. So we are so fortunate. We have the dust of Vrindavan, we have the deities, we have the temple, we have so many things to remember Krishna. You can't forget Krishna here. And Kunti Devi also, we read last year that she was in great anxiety that, you know, when we were having so many calamities, Krishna was with us, and now we've got our kingdom, we've got everything, Krishna's leaving. And what's the use of the kingdom? Better we have distress all the time, so Krishna will stay. But Prabhupada said in his lecture on this verse that the effect of Krishna's absence is that he will be more acutely present within the mind of the devotee. So Krishna may be away, but you feel him that he's even more present when he's away. So Prabhupada said this is the realization. We saw the residents of Hastinapur when Krishna was leaving, how upset they were. And then we saw the residents of Dwarka. Krishna wasn't there, and they were just in their meditation, like sleeping. And then Krishna came, and they all woke up. So when Krishna is gone, we meditate on him. We're always in separation from Krishna because we're very separated. We haven't, of course, we have seen him. We've seen him in the temple. But so we should feel that. What's that?
We're separated, but we don't feel separation.
Yes, we're separated from Krishna, but we don't feel separation. Actually, we feel separation from our objects when we lose them. We feel that separation, isn't it, Mark? What?
There's a verse in the Dedicanto when the gopis were asking him about friendship.
Yeah.
They asked Krishna about friendship when Krishna came back after the...
Oh.
And they asked, tell us about friendship. Some friends reciprocate when they get affection.
Yeah.
Don't reciprocate. How come you don't reciprocate? That's
yes.
10:32:20, a famous one. He says that the only reason why I don't reciprocate when I'm fully surrendered is that I wish to heighten their attachment. He said they become exactly like a person who had money and they lost it and they could do nothing but think about that lost money again and again.
Right. So my question to you is, those of you who were here last year, in Bhakti Shastri, we learned one of the Chaturshloki verses, which exemplifies this attitude of the gopis. It was not the Chaturshloki verse, it's not there directly, it was indirectly by Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha, as Brijan Prabhu told us. So which verse of the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam exemplifies this? Yes. The third. Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu savacheshvanu. Pravishtani apavishtani. Okay. Mateshvaham. So as the elements enter and do not enter, Krishna enters and does not enter. So Krishna, when Krishna is separated, the devotee feels him that he's actually here. He's because he's entered the core of their heart. He's attracted by their love and he's there in his uppercut feature. So we learned that from Jiva Goswami's commentary last year on the Chaturshloki, that Krishna is actually there in the hearts. Of course, it's there in Mahabharata too. That where is the truth? Where is the truth? It's not, you cannot find the truth in Tarko Pravishta, Shrutayo Vibhina, and all the different Vedas. You cannot find the truth. You cannot find it, Nasav Rishir, Yasya Matim Nabhinam. You cannot find, if you go to every different Rishi and ask the truth, you'll get some different answer. Because someone is not a Muni unless he has a different philosophy. So where is the truth? Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. It's hidden in the heart of the pure devotee. So same thing. Krishna manifests in the heart of the devotee. We'll hear about this more when we meet Uddhava, when he starts speaking. And we'll see how he manifests his ecstasy. So one more question I'll ask you before you can ask questions. And that is, now we're actually in separation from Krishna. So how can we mitigate our separation if we're feeling separation? What is our solace being away from Krishna? Yes, Maharaj.
Tavanam darshanam dhyanamai bhavo na kirtanat na tatat pratikarshena pratiyatat ato viho.
Who says that?
Krishna.
Okay, Krishna tells us how. How we can...
It is by hearing my glories, it is meditating on those glories, and chanting, meditating on those glories, my bhava on kirtanat, following my mood. Not the tatpati karshena, not by physical proximity. Pratiya tata tovriyam, therefore go home.
Go home. Go home back to your sadhana.
Go home back to your sadhana.
Yes.
By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, Prabhupada mentioned in the introduction of Krishna book, by any topics of Krishna Katha, such as this book or Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavi, are actually solace from devotees burning in the fire of separation from Krishna.
Yes.
So it's this Katha.
The Katha is solace, yes.
Also we see from the past the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also from Krishna, the importance of having associates who are the same mood, like what Rani had only from
Shaka. Swajatiya. Right. Yes, we need the devotees who have the same mood, and then we can actually... Krishna will come. Krishna will be pleased. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. In the association of devotees.
That means that because these elevated Vidura and Uddhava were of the same nature.
Yes.
And therefore Krishna arranged them to meet each other.
Yes.
Nothing is by chance.
No. Nothing is by chance. Yes.
Tam
tapta jivanam. Titam. Yes. Tapta jivanam. We can get rid of this burning. We're all burning in this world, suffering in separation from Krishna or suffering from kicks of Maya. Either way, we're suffering. No, suffering and separation is not real suffering. If we could have that. Yes?
He says, hear those pastimes of Krishna which he performs regularly as nectar for the ears. The one hears that, takes one drop of that nectar just once, nicely, then all of his dualities become finished.
Yes.
Sounds like a very strong verse for Vanaprastha, actually.
It's for everyone. Yes, well, you can live in your house and be finished with it too. I've experienced it. Yes. I think it's the lesson you learn from grihastha life.
You can live within the house and be finished with it.
You need a higher taste, of course. Okay, any other things besides Krishna Katha? And okay, let's see if we have any more answers first. And then we'll have the questions. Any other way we can mitigate? Only Krishna Katha and association of devotees. This is the best way. Sadhana, yes. Oh, prasadam. Wow. Really? That you mitigate your separation from Krishna by eating. Yes, in the material world, when they're upset, they eat a lot. So we take prasadam when we're feeling separation from Krishna.
Actually, you can see that from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's experience of prasadam in Bhakti Vedanta.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yes, we can actually feel that. Thank you for that. Hmm. Nourishment. Mm-hmm. It's the three types of realization you get by eating, and three types of realization you get, the same realization you get by devotional service. Is bhakti, parishanu, bhavo, virakti, anyatra, sat. You get detachment, you get darshan of the Lord, and you get satisfaction. Boy, I think. Bhakti, and you get bhakti. Devotion. Bhakti, parishanu, bhavo, virakti. The right perception, darshan, darshan. You get direct perception, you get bhakti, and you get detachment. Just as when you eat, with every mouthful, you get satisfaction, nourishment, and. Yes, freedom from hunger. Okay?
We can also cherish or keep with us other types of prasad.
We can keep other types of prasad, yes? Dust and garlands, like this. I have this garland. It's very soothing. Yes, from the holy place. This is solace. Dust from the place, the birthplace of different devotees. Was it in Madhavendra Puri? He was eating the pot. He was eating the pot he was eating the clay pot. That gave him solace. That reminded him of Kirchara Gopinath. He was eating. Yes, Prabhuji in the back. This is Gaya Prabhu. Our own realization. Yes. Okay. This is very good. To mitigate our separation, we remember our realizations that we have gotten over the years. And that helps us to mitigate our separation. How Krishna has reciprocated with us. Yes, Bhakta Damian. Yes, yes. We can go to the places where Krishna manifests his pastimes and we can mitigate our separation. Nishingdev. She was going to say that. Go to Jamuna, go to Govardhan. Lord Chaitanya, he was embracing Govardhan Hill. Yes, Sankirtan.
I mentioned my near past Vedantic experience by preaching to the innocent.
By preaching?
To the innocent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems there's some kind of special mercy.
Yes. Special mercy you get by preaching. Yes, he gives you the words to say. Or he softens their heart, or something happens when you preach. And you get realizations. Yes. Maharaj?
I was relishing this, about Uddhava meeting Vidura on the bank of the Jamuna.
Yes.
Because in the Jamunastic it says that, Nanda Sunga Bhakta Sangha Sangam Abhinandani. And Jamunaji is very happy with it. Devotees of the Lord congregate on their banks.
Okay. Yes, Adi Purusha.
It's also also to be understood that when the Lord turns away from us and we don't feel His presence, it may also
We turn away from Him.
It may also be a way of His reciprocating with us.
Oh, okay. Sometimes He turns away too. Okay.
It can happen. It can happen. It does happen regularly in the life of a devotee.
Yeah.
Or in the life of a spiritualist.
Hmm.
This is meant, as Maharaj quoted in that verse, because this is meant to enhance a devotee's yearning.
Hmm.
Krishna said to Narada.
Yes, when he left Narada in the forest. Yes.
You will not see me anymore in this life. And this is meant to strip the devotee from all the vestiges of the false ego.
Yes. Yeah, it said.
It makes it, even if the Lord is not present in front of my eyes or not giving me His darshan, it gives an impetus to kick out the Americans.
And this is also the Lord's reciprocation. So even if He pulls back, this is also His.
Okay.
His,
when Krishna leaves us, that's also mercy. That's also reciprocation. So that's by lamentation, eagerness after Krishna leaves you, then you get this tremendous, oh, I've lost Krishna. And you get this eagerness, I must have Krishna again. And lamentation, you want to have Him back.
Lamentation is purification.
Yes, so you get purified. Again, Adi Purusha.
Because sometimes a spiritualist starts enjoying his
yes. Yes, you start enjoying, and you can become proud even. Yes, with your Krishna's. Okay, just one. Yes, Madhavanapuri. Chichitamayam. Bhagavan Ishwari. Remover of all miseries.
So
even the misery of separation.
If we intensify all Krishna.
Yes, Adi Purusha.
And, Lord Chaitanya, in the last verse of Shikshashtaka.
Last verse of Shikshashtaka.
Embrace me or you never show yourself to me. Regardless of that, unconditionally, I am always your servant. So that's the ideal mood.
Last verse of Shikshastika. Whether you embrace me or kick me away, I am your servant. Nishing. Reciting the prayers of the acharyas, we can become free. Yes, by praying. That's actually a very important point. We can mitigate our separation by praying because then he's responding. He responds to our prayers also. We see Krishna's here. It's actually happening. Although we may not appreciate the way it's happening sometimes. He has His plan, we have our plans. They don't always agree. Yes, Adi Purusha.
We should not impose our own way of associating with
Him. Yes.
Because sometimes we want Him to associate with us in only a certain way.
Yeah. So we should give Krishna His independence to associate with us in whatever way He likes. We don't dictate to Him that you have to be like this with me or like that with me. Although some devotees may be like that, like Jagannanda Pandit. He only wanted a certain thing from behavior from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya had to follow sometimes. Yeah, it's such a bummer. Yes, yes.
He could bring the Lord under control by His working. Yeah. He could demand that.
Yes, but we shouldn't think that we are like that. We shouldn't think that we are in such a great position that we can demand from Krishna. Though I've seen it, devotees do that sometimes. And it's out of love, too. It's out of, there is one devotee, actually. She lives right here at the Goshala. And one time, she was coming for darshan to the temple and she came in front of the deities. On the way, there was a shower. She got drenched. And she went in front of the deity and she started yelling at him, "You knew I was coming to the temple. Why did you shower with the shower on me?" Anyway, some people have that relationship with the deities. I guess so. Yeah.
During the setting of Himayapur, our mother, brother, Sanyasi, he's quite old. And he gathered up together, he sold his house, he gave millions. But still, with the money he gave, there was not sufficient to save Himayapur.
What was that with the money?
He gave.
Uh-huh.
Not sufficient to save Himayapur. Because Himayapur was heavily more gain. So he used to come and recommend Krishna.
Shishila Bhagavinda Madhava in New Mayapur.
And New Mayapur.
He used to tell him, look, I have so much. What about you? Why don't you give me a compliment? Why don't you give me a compliment? The balance.
Why don't you give the balance?
Yeah. And he was telling Krishna, I want to give you balance. But he himself, he get everything.
Yes.
And shortly after Krishna came. Only actually he had this person was Krishna.
Yes.
But he was representing.
So Krishna, yes, Krishna hears, it says that even though he's so far away, Angani Yasha Shakalendi Avritimanti, with any sense he can do anything. Very sincere. Yes. There are stories. Now, okay, Maharaj, you had a question.
I have a question on shloka number 17 in the purport.
Mm-hmm.
The Prabhupada is glorifying the different deities in different places. The Lord is present, but for us, Adhikeshava, this is understood, this Adhikeshava temple.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Right.
And Jagannath, okay. Prayag is Bindu Madhava, we've all seen.
Right.
Okay, here's where at Vishnu Kanchi is Kanchipuram, right? Vishnu Kanchi is Kanchipuram, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Right, you follow? Is that clear?
It's Varadaraj.
Okay, Varadaraj. Okay, Varadaraj at Vishnu Kanchi. Fine. And Anandaranya, where is this? Janardhan is a famous Janardhan temple in Kerala. That may strike a bell. Maybe this is the Janardhan that is being referred to.
Vasudev Padmanabh and Janardhan.
Padmanabh is also Tiruvannathapuram. Tiruvannathapuram, Ananda Padmanabha Swami. Okay. Vasudev is where then? That's the question. If this is Kerala then, Anandaranya, which actually becomes Kerala, by Janardhan's presence and by Ananda Padmanabha Swami's presence. So where is Vasudev? That's the question.
Okay, you can search, Maharaj. Just like Prabhupada says in the purport, searching for, you can go search for Vasudev.
And this Mayapur is Hari, is this Gaura Hari here? What is this other?
Mayapur. Mayapur, who knows? Anyway, if you can look it up in the commentaries perhaps. If you, Adi Purush, you have access to the commentaries. Maybe you could check and see if Prabhupada got something from there. And give us the answer. Yes, you know something about Mayapur? No. Okay.
And the next thing that I'm curious about is again in 22 about all these spots.
All the spots.
These Tritya Kuchana Manu Pratu Abni Asita Bayo Sudasa Go Guha and Shadadeva.
Go Guha and Shadadeva.
Isn't there some maps of the old Bharata Varsha during Mahabharata? There's some maps. There's one, actually a big book one devotee got for his marriage. But I don't know who printed it. I'm actually curious about it. It's a very big book, about half as big as this chattai. And it's a big picture map of India from different places. And they've got like very thin maps that go over all this photo of the geographic of India. And they've got all different, from different periods.
Mm. So that, I guess you'll have to find that book and look at it. I doubt if it will be in the commentary. Okay.
These spots are interesting.
Yes, Adi Purush Prabhu.
Why the third canto is the size as opposed to the first and the second? What is different from the first two cantos that it makes it thighs or the knees?
The above. Well, the only thing I remember last year we were reading. In one purport, Prabhupada said that first and second canto should free us from all anarthas. There's some purport there.
Yeah.
By the first and second cantos, we become free from anarthas, and then we can proceed further. That's the only reference that I can think of to support that why you go up after the first and second cantos.
How the philosophy.
Well, another way we can understand that is that at the end of the second canto, we had the Chatushloki and we had the 10 subjects. So now this is the beginning of the explanation of the 10 subjects. So in that way, it's It's higher. Like we just said, like the first and second is more or less an introduction and establishing the basis of Bhagavatam history. So now we're actually getting into the explanation of creation, sarga, visarga, all these topics, the 10 topics, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now they're being elaborated, they're being expanded. So therefore we're going up now on the third and fourth canto. We'll hear so much about sarga and visarga and these different topics. Terms of stages of bhakti. Well, again, freedom from anartana vritti is there at first and second cantos. So if you haven't gotten it yet, you can still keep trying. You've got until the 10th canto. But by that time, you should be past anartana vritti. It says actually one who is speaking, he should be free. So I'm also hoping to be free. But if we just speak what Srila Prabhupada said, then we're safe. We don't speculate.
This means that until one actually becomes free from gross anarthas, one should not discuss anything more than the first and second canto.
That's what Prabhupada says.
Yes.
Yes.
In case one is not free from illicit sex life.
Okay.
Second
canto.
Illicit.
Okay, so we have our four regulative principles, which hopefully people are following. And if you're in the beginning of Bhagavatam also it said free from vice. Yeah. And Prabhupada translated that to mean the four regulative principles. Illicit sex life, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. Yeah, so we will see a gradual progression as we go up. And the sixth canto is poshanam, for sure. It's all about protection. And tenth canto we know it's ashraya. It's a shelter, yes.
But didn't Jiva Goswami say that actually the 10 topics are scattered all over
the yes.
canto? They're not necessarily attributed to each canto each.
Yes, they're scattered throughout. So but there is some emphasis.
Yeah.
There is some emphasis on different topics in different cantos.
Well, why then do we find a title on each canto?
Yes.
I always wonder that because on each canto there is a title, Koshana,
yeah. Yes.
Adi
Purusha Prabhu.
Just for the convenience sake.
Convenience sake. Okay, Maharaj.
It looks like with reference to Poshanam, the sixth canto, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
And it looks like it appears to me that that's the primary thing that is being referred to in that canto.
Yes, it does. And Prabhupada says that actually in some introduction somewhere. He says sixth canto deals with this. An introduction to one of the cantos, fifth or fourth, or it must be fifth. One of these places he does talk about this. How sixth is poshanam.
So the names appear to be according to the what is predominantly referred to in each canto.
Well, it's not exactly because first is what? First canto is creation. What is it? Sarga. It's not exactly. Then there's another list of the acharyas which starts with third canto, sarga, visarga, and goes up like that till the end. So there's different lists, but we shouldn't become bewildered by that. 21. Forest.
This is actually because we come into a realm as controllers and enjoyers with independent desire from Krishna. And when those desires clash, that friction is what burns our hearts. So the forest of material desire is not something external, but it's our way of dealing with the material realm and each other. And when
yes.
there's a clash of desire, and then friction.
There is a clash of desire, and this is called struggle for existence,
yeah.
or the forest fire.
The other thing I was thinking I just wanted to confirm with you is that from reading this section from today, the lesson that I got was that if purification is performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, then one will meet the Mahabhagavans.
Yes.
This seemed like a very strong lesson in this section.
Okay, a lesson. If we perform
purification.
Purification.
For pleasure,
Okay, if we go through purification for the pleasure of Krishna, the result will be that we meet a Mahabhagavata. This is a lesson that you have learned from this section. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's also, although he is himself a Mahabhagavat, he's acting to teach us. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that real religion can be found in the behavior of a Vaishnava. So he's establishing Dharma just by his behavior. How he goes to the holy places, how he reacts. So we can study just from the behavior, just like we study the behavior of Prabhupada, we can see what is religion. We study behavior of Vidura, we study any of these people. We can understand this, what is religion. Now, yes.
I wonder about Vidura. He actually, at any stage, he can impure or lessen it to the body.
No.
In the beginning of the Tantra years, let us say, Vidura was a great impure devotee.
Yeah.
And in text 24, again, Prabhupada says, both Vidura and Buddha were such elevated devotees.
Yeah.
It seems that they said, but contaminated by the association.
He felt.
That is humility.
Yeah. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, they felt. But they were...
From another angle,
they're
never less than a pure devotee.
No, they are pure devotees. They are pure. But he's teaching us. You know, we may say, no, I'm going to go see Krishna. You know, who cares what condition I'm in. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go see Krishna right now. He's on the planet. I'm out of here. I'm going. Prabhupada also. I'm just going to go see Prabhupada. I'm just going to go see him personally and forget my service. So it's like that. It's the attitude. It's the attitude. Yes, Prabhu.
Because at the same time, the eighth verse of the Sri Isha.
Eighth verse of Sri Isha Upanishad.
We know that he's apophagilam, prophylactic.
Yes.
And antiseptic.
Yeah.
So no matter how sinful we are, in no time.
Yeah.
Things.
So Krishna is prophylactic and apapavidam. Antiseptic. What's that? Kubja was an example of that. Immediately purified. A lot of us were examples that we were, you know, just Prabhupada immediately, you know, we were doing everything and immediately Prabhupada called us and finished. Our whole life, everything was finished. We just left it. Just like that. So many.
You can also see from verse 20 the role of Sakyamuni.
Verse 20.
The role of Sakyamuni and purification and becoming eligible for the 10th soul of the Lord and the
Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Bhagavati. Chakra, yes. The other symbols? Oh, club, lotus, and conch. Yeah, we'll get to that in the fifth chapter. We'll actually study all these symbols on Krishna's lotus feet. Not all of them, but the ones that are mentioned on Krishna's lotus feet. I'll have a picture up here for you, and then we'll discuss it, what the meaning of the other symbols are, and how by meditating on them we can become purified.
Sorry, it wasn't verse
18, that's why I was looking. Verse 18 helps. Yeah, so the other symbols we'll find out in the future, in chapter 5. When the demigods, because the umbrella, they talk about the umbrella of the Lord's lotus feet and other such things. So the conch will come up then, the conch shell. And if it doesn't come up, then we can also discuss it. Yeah.
It's reported that this conversation between Maitreya and Vidura happened the place called Gyanagudri, on the other side of Vrindavan.
You mean Uddhava and Vidura? Or Maitreya and Vidura? Because there's two conversations here. So you said Maitreya. Yeah? Maitreya? Okay, check it up. Because right in the verse, when we come to it, it'll say Hardwara. I mean, it says Dwara right in the verse, in the Sanskrit. So Prabhupada translates it Haridwar. That is Maitreya. Oh yeah. Yeah, Uddhava says go or somebody says you're in, he's in Haridwar.
Yang Udara is where Uddhava met Vidura. Uddhava and Vidura.
There was one discussion with Gurgaon.
Gurgaon, he said Gurgaon. No, it's not written. It's not written. He was passing through Gurgaon. Brijan said Gurgaon. Gurgaon. Okay. So any other questions or comments?
This is the bank of the Jamuna, but it doesn't...
This is Bank of Jamuna. You have to trace the Jamuna.
It didn't say where. It didn't say exactly where they met.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking that the Gangudari is where they met?
That's what they say. The Gudari is there.
They say that the Dura and Uddhava met there and discussed.
Okay. So, any other questions or comments? Do you have your schedule yet? You don't?
I have put the schedule there on the window, the rough version.
Rough version, okay. Okay, he wants to make it in a nice format, and then you'll get it.
But before, you can consult the outside.
Yes. So I'll tell you every day until you get it. So just for Monday, you finish this chapter, finish reading all these verses for Monday, 25 through, I think it's 45. 25 through 45, we'll finish chapter 1 on Monday.